Sometimes we're just searching for what's right there all along. By X Love MX. I still think this is a terrible idea, Mom, Hermione says, shaking her head as her fingers wrap around the mug filled with her mother's famous hot chocolate. Harry, back me up on this? Harry looks caught off guard, his own mug brought to his lips, where the whipped cream has left a white mustache, and Hermione can't help but giggle. On second thought, never mind. Nobody's going to take you seriously looking like that. Harry rolls his eyes and unsuccessfully tries to wipe the whipped cream away before Hermione reaches out to do it for him. Now you'll never know what a compelling case I would have made for you, he replies eventually, and Hermione swats his arm. Oh, shut up! She laughs and shakes her head, before finally turning her attention back to her mother. I don't need you to set me up on a date, Mum. I'm perfectly capable of doing that by myself, should I want to. All right, maybe that's a lie, but one she very convincingly tells herself and everyone around her, and it's worked out so far. It's not like Hermione doesn't want to date, and she does, on occasion, but it's hard, bringing her long hours at work and her private life together. And ever since Ron and she had broken up a couple of years ago, she hadn't really gotten past a few dates with anyone. And besides, the breakup with Ron had been messy, and she thinks it's going to last her a lifetime. At this point in time, they've managed to reconcile, and they even find time to meet up once every 2 weeks or so for lunch. Hermione forces him to come, really, and she doesn't have the strength to go through that again. The war's been hard on all of them, and even now, 7 years later, it's something that still haunts her dreams on occasion. But it's her friends that have gotten her through the worst part, including Harry, who's stuck by her side even through the breakup, showing up at her office with coffee and lunch until she'd been ready to talk about it all. Looking back on it now, it might have been his own way of dealing with it, deflecting his own emotions and trying to resolve them through her. But it's worked out in the end. Mostly, anyway. It's part of the reason she's asked him to accompany her on the family trip to France, because he's become such a constant in her life. Her best friend, always has been, and she doesn't like the idea of him being stuck at Grimmauld Place on Christmas all by himself. Her parents adore him, too, so it's been easy to drag him along, with this being the first year she's finally taken the time off to go away for longer than just Christmas Day. Hermione's always been a hard worker, and for a few years her parents had come to London for Christmas, staying over and taking care of everything. But this year she'd decided to take some time off. She'd been working a little too hard, even she had to admit as much. And with Harry in tow, she had apparated to the little cabin in the French mountainside where she'd spent so many winter holidays as a child. Nostalgia had hit her right away, and Harry had laughed when she'd dragged him out to make use of the old sleigh in the shed outside, very nearly crashing them into a tree. It's almost enough to make her forget about work and all the stress that she's put herself under this past year. Almost. Please, darling, he's such a sweetheart, and he's going to be an amazing dentist once he's done with his studies. Maybe he can take over the practice one day. Her mother smiles what Hermione can only call a knowing smile, and her eyebrow easily shoots up in response. Could we not make any plans for my future before I've even met this guy? So, you will meet him? You won't regret it. I mean, you should hear him speak French. I feel like there's nothing more attractive than that, her mother adds, and Hermione watches as her father lowers his newspaper, glancing at them all over the edge of it.
Should I be worried you'll run off with a local, dear?
He asks, a slightly bemused tone in his voice, and her lips curve into a smile. Shush! I'm trying to convince our daughter to make her own path to happiness, with a lovely, attractive, and well-off man. Her parents had always made sure her education came first, and Hermione's always been thankful for that. But now that she's got a stable job and a good income, she assumes they are, in fact, planning for a long-term future, and one that includes grandkids for them as well. She doesn't blame them, and she knows her mother would never make her go on a date if she truly didn't want to. And it's hard to say no when she sounds so excited, her eyes almost sparkling as she looks back at her daughter, seemingly waiting for an answer. Fine, fine. I'll go. One date. And if he's not for me, then we'll never talk about it again, okay? She sighs, her eyes briefly meeting with Harry's, who's hiding his face behind his mug once more. And Hermione almost feels like something's off, like she should be saying something, even though she doesn't know what exactly that something is. But the moment passes, when her mother wraps her up in her arms, her voice excited as she speaks. "Oh, you won't regret it, darling." "Well, I didn't have 'my mother sets me up on a date with some hot French dentist-to-be' on my Christmas bingo card, but here we are." Hermione chuckles as they slowly make their way upstairs once dinner is done.
"What did you have on your Christmas bingo card, then?"
Harry asks, glancing over once they've come to a stop in front of their respective rooms. "I don't know. My father making some corny jokes, matching Christmas pajamas. Normal stuff, I guess." She turns to look at him, and that feeling from earlier returns, causing her stomach to turn ever so slightly. Hermione doesn't quite know what's wrong, but she blames it on having too much chocolate pudding for dessert. "Do you think I should go?" she finally asks, and she's not entirely sure what kind of answer she expects. Would she truly cancel the date if Harry thought it to be a bad idea? He's her best friend, after all, and even though he doesn't exactly have the best track record with his own relationships, he's probably the one who knows her best out of everyone.
"Well, it can't be worse than Patrick," Harry replies, the corners of his lips turned upwards.
And Hermione resists the urge to reach out and swat his arm again.
"That was one time!"
It had been a disaster of a date, one she hadn't wanted to go on in the first place, but Hermione was nothing if not stubborn, and when Harry had told her the guy wouldn't be a match, she'd been meaning to prove him wrong.
"You're never going to let me live that down, will you?"
"Never."
His joy is a little infectious, and Hermione shakes her head, feeling her own lips curve into a smile.
"Well, if you think I should go, then I will. I do trust your judgment,"
she eventually adds, and Harry chuckles in response.
"Well, look how far we've come,"
he grins, reaching out to rest his hand on her shoulder for a moment.
"Good night, Hermione."
And with that, he turns to step into one of the guest bedrooms, leaving Hermione by herself, staring at the closed door for a moment longer.
"Night, Harry." "What if he freaks out about me being a witch?"
Truthfully, they'd been working on collaborations between muggles and wizards for a couple of years now, and while things are going pretty smoothly these days, there's still people who think of magic as something they'd rather avoid, and knowing her luck, this guy might just be one of them.
"Then you turn him into a toad,"
Harry chokes with a smile from where he's leaning against the kitchen counter, watching as Hermione straightens the dark red tights she'd picked specifically for this date to go with the Christmas theme. She'd spent far too much time debating on what to wear, and how to do her hair, and really, this is entirely too stressful considering she's been meaning to have a quiet family vacation over Christmas.
"Maybe I should cancel. It's just coffee, after all. He'll live."
She glances over to Harry, making a face at him, as if she's hoping he'd give her a reason not to go.
"Or maybe we can tell Mum that you'll feel lonely,"
she tries. And this time around, Harry laughs as he pushes himself off the counter and reaches for a gift that's neatly wrapped and resting on the counter next to him, holding it out for her.
"Please don't, or she'll set me up on a date too,"
he chuckles, before nodding towards the gift.
"I know it's a little early, but I think now's as good as ever."
Hermione takes the present and glances up to meet his eyes once more, a spark of warmth settling in her chest.
"Harry, you didn't have to get me anything."
"Just open it up, yeah?"
His lips are curved into a smile again, and when Hermione finally tears the paper away, she feels that familiar warmth spread from her chest through her entire body. The red fabric of the scarf she's now holding is soft between her fingers, and she remembers exactly when she had seen it for the first time, back at one of the booths at the Christmas market, not far from her apartment. It had been entirely too expensive to justify its purchase, but she'd thought about it nonetheless, and Harry, bless his heart, must have realized how much she had loved it.
"I figured since you're going out there in the cold, you might as well stay warm," he says,
taking the scarf from her hands and wrapping it around her neck carefully, hands lingering a little longer than maybe necessary to make sure it fits perfectly. And Hermione feels her stomach swoop. It's not a new feeling, really, but it's one she's been very good at ignoring for the sake of more important things, like preserving their friendship, something she considers the most important thing in her life. It's hard when Harry's right there, though. Carefully tying the scarf up before glancing up to meet her eyes with a smile.
And it even matches your tights.
Maybe I shouldn't go, Hermione thinks. But then he steps back and the moment passes, allowing her to think clearly again.
She'd nearly lost a good friend when Ron and she had broken up, and she's not about to go through all of that again. His name is Pierre. He's a year younger than Hermione, and overall, he's very charming with his good looks and his French accent while he talks about how he'd been coming to the very same place for years with his parents, and how he'd been a little skeptical of their mother's setting up this blind date, but that he has no regrets now that he's met her.
And once I am done with my studies next year, I am thinking of permanently moving my place of work and residence to London.
Something's missing, though, and Hermione can't quite put her finger on what it is.
Which is part of the reason why our mothers set us up, I think.
He offers a smile, and Hermione takes a sip of her coffee.
Maybe you could, you know, show me the ropes a little bit, as they say. Your favorite places and all that.
She thinks about Diagon Alley and the Leaky Cauldron, and about how she absolutely cannot bring him there, at least not until she knows what he thinks about witches and magic. And when Hermione realizes she's being quiet for a bit too long, she quickly sets down her cup.
Oh, sure. There's lots of places to go. There's an adorable little cafe in Covent Garden. They have the best pastries. Harry once bought out their entire display.
She chuckles at the memory of the shocked face of the woman behind the counter, and how she'd scrambled to pack the pastries all into various boxes that Harry and Hermione then had to try to carry home without dropping any.
If you like musicals and plays, there's always the West End. Harry and I saw some great shows this year. Depends on what kind of show you're looking for, obviously.
She offers him a smile before picking up her cup once more, watching as a smile passes over Pierre's lips as well.
I will watch a musical if it means I will get to see you again, he then offers,
and even though it's supposed to be a compliment, Hermione doesn't feel that familiar spark of warmth in her chest. Instead, she thinks back to when Harry had shown up at her door one day, holding 2 tickets to Mary Poppins and giving her 10 minutes to get dressed. She'd talked about wanting to see the show, but when she'd brought it up with Ron, he'd rolled his eyes and waved her off, asking if she could go with one of her girlfriends instead. It had been towards the end of their relationship, and maybe it had also been the nail in the coffin, or at least another indicator that they weren't compatible. Pierre drops her off at the cabin eventually, and Hermione can't quite help but fidget a little with the scarf wrapped around her neck as he turns off the engine briefly.
Right, I had a very good time. I hope you did too.
His smile is charming, but it doesn't quite take her breath away like Hermione thinks it should. Still, she nods as she mimics the smile on his face.
Yes, of course. I had a good time. Thank you.
It's not exactly a lie. He's good-looking and nice, and he's probably going to be making some good money if he opens a practice in London, but... Well, she still can't quite put her finger on what's wrong.
Well, maybe we could do it again, then. After Christmas? Like you said, there's great places to get coffee in London, yes?
She nods without even thinking about it, a little caught off guard when he begins to slowly lean in, and by the time Hermione realizes what's going on, he's already pressed a kiss to the corner of her lips before pulling back.
You have my number.
Another smile is offered, and she has to force herself to calmly step out of the car and wave, instead of running towards the cabin to possibly hide beneath the covers of her bed. Once the car has disappeared completely, she finally turns to head towards the house, letting out a sigh before she opens the door and slips inside. It's still rather early, but she doesn't quite expect her mother and Harry to be in the kitchen, cups of what seems to be hot chocolate in hand, their heads turning towards her as she closes the door.
All right, how was it? Tell me everything. Isn't he lovely?
Her mother says excitedly, and yet Hermione doesn't quite have it in her to match the other woman's enthusiasm.
He wants to see me again,
is what she manages, resisting the urge to reach up and touch the scarf wrapped around her neck still.
That's wonderful, darling,
her mother exclaims, and Hermione watches as Harry hides his face behind his cup. Luckily for Hermione, her father doesn't seem as interested to talk about her date, so it's mostly quiet over breakfast, while her mother is already back in the kitchen getting started on preparations for Christmas dinner. She doesn't mind the quiet, especially since she didn't exactly sleep well last night, tossing and turning and not falling asleep until well into the night. It helps that she's on her second cup of coffee, though, sitting outside on the steps that lead up to the porch eventually, her eyes following the path that Harry took to gather some firewood. He's gathering the logs up in his arms, trying to figure out the best way to transport them, and Hermione knows him well enough to know that he's considering using magic to get them back into the house all at once.
"You know, you don't have to see that guy again just because your mother likes him."
Her father's voice nearly makes her jump, and she holds onto her cup a little tighter, glancing up to see him leaning against one of the posts that's holding up the roof of the porch.
"He's a nice guy,"
she replies, almost automatically, knowing that her father can probably see through her attempted diversion easily enough.
"I know. I play poker with his father every now and then. But that's not a reason for you to date him. Unless you want to."
He pushes himself off and settles down next to her, following as her gaze drifts off towards Harry once more.
"But you don't, right?"
There's a pause where neither of them speaks, and Hermione eventually sighs, hiding her face in her cup as she takes another sip of her now almost cold coffee.
"How do you know what I want? He could be great,"
she tries again, though even she's not convinced by her own words.
"Because I know my little girl, who's not so little anymore."
Her father smiles, reaching out to run a hand through her hair carefully.
"The heart wants what it wants."
"Don't you think Mum will be disappointed?"
It's not something she thought she'd be worried about, but she's always been close with her parents, has always had their support on anything she'd wanted to do, even when she'd chosen to work at the ministry they had supported her, despite still not knowing much about the wizarding world.
"I think your mother wants you to be happy," he replies eventually,
glancing up to watch Harry approach them with an armful of firewood.
"And she worries about you, like every parent does."
Before Hermione can reply, however, her father stands up and meets Harry halfway with a smile.
"Let me help you with that,"
he offers, and Hermione sighs again, feeling that familiar spark of warmth in her chest as she watches the two of them interact. Part of her thinks she should never have asked Harry to come along, but they've been doing Christmas together for years now, even if it's nothing but takeout and a cheesy old Christmas movie in her apartment, and it feels wrong to leave him behind. He's her best friend, after all. And only that.
"Keep telling yourself that,"
a voice in the back of her mind pops up, and Hermione tries to drown it out with some more coffee, which, of course, has gone cold. Christmas dinner comes and goes, and the cozy atmosphere is almost enough to make her forget about her worries. Presents are exchanged, and her father plays the piano while they all sing along to some Christmas songs, though Hermione is glad that no one else is there to hear them. An owl eventually arrives, carrying two self-knitted Christmas sweaters from Molly, as they do every year. They're not the most comfortable ones to wear, but they're filled with the memories of good times and holiday cheer, and she can't quite help but smile as she watches Harry run his fingers across the material. Her parents have gone to bed, and she feels that familiar spark of warmth settle in her chest as she reaches for the last package under the tree.
"I got you something, too."
Harry looks up to meet her eyes, and Hermione wonders how he's still surprised. They never outright say they'll be getting each other presents, but come Christmas Day, they each have something for the other. It's always been that way.
"It's nothing special,"
she can't help but add, watching as he unwraps the small package, his eyes widening ever so slightly as the gift is revealed. It's a framed, moving photo of the two of them, taken at the ministry's Christmas party. They're both looking at each other, lips curved into a smile and drinks in hand, before turning towards the camera, and then the whole thing starts over.
"It's beautiful, Miney."
There's something about the way he uses her nickname that makes her heart miss a beat, and she can feel the familiar warmth spreading through her chest once more. Maybe it's not going to end in disaster. Maybe Harry likes her back. Maybe... Her phone buzzes where it's resting on the table next to them, and the moment passes as quickly as it has come, especially when they both look over to see a message from Pierre pop up on the screen.
Merry Christmas. I had a great time yesterday. X.
I don't want to see him again. Hermione's voice sounds almost panicked as she reaches forward to grab Harry's wrist, afraid he'll pull back and leave. I didn't want to go on that date in the first place, but you said I should go, so I figured... She trails off with a sigh, shaking her head. I guess I wasn't really thinking, huh?
That'd be a first, then.
The corners of Harry's lips are curved upwards as he puts the frame aside before reaching up to rest his hand on top of Hermione's, which is still wrapped around his wrist.
I'm sorry, though. I could have told you not to go, but I figured maybe you wanted to, and I wasn't going to be the one standing in the way.
You're never in the way, Harry. She glances down at his hand on top of hers, loosening her grip around his wrist, but not pulling away. You're anything but.
Why?
Their eyes meet, and there's another question hidden in his, one Hermione's never really allowed herself to think about. But maybe it's time to stop pushing those feelings away. You know why, she finally says, feeling her heart miss another beat as he leans in just a little closer.
I need you to say it, though.
And suddenly it's incredibly easy to allow herself to feel the warmth that's spreading through her whole body now, and how his simple touch sends a shiver down her spine as he reaches out to brush a strand of hair from her face. You could never be in the way, because I want you by my side, all the time. Not just as my best friend, though you know how much I appreciate that part of our lives, and I was terrified of losing that for reasons you know, but turns out I was making exactly that happen by trying to push you away. She huffs, shaking her head once more.
You know, I would have taken a simple, I love you.
Harry chuckles in response, causing her to swat his chest with her free hand before laughing. You're terrible, she then replies, reaching for her wand that's resting on the kitchen counter and mumbling a few words as she waits for the magic to take effect. Now, would you please just kiss me? Her face tilts upwards ever so slightly, and Harry follows her gaze to the mistletoe that's hovering above them. And really, he doesn't have to be told twice, pulling her in close to press their lips together in a soft kiss. It feels like the world around them slows down, shrinking to nothing but the two of them, and Hermione briefly wonders why they've waited this long to do this. Of course she knows there's a rational explanation for it, but it doesn't matter. Not when her heart is beating rapidly in her chest as she wraps her arms around his neck, very much intending not to let go anytime soon. Merry Christmas, Harry, she eventually mutters, resting their foreheads together with a smile, his words sparking that all-too-familiar warmth in her chest once more.
Merry Christmas, Hermione.